Welcome to The Brand Advantage. This series, brought to you by Bluetex, explores how brand creates real competitive leverage by increasing enterprise visibility, strengthening credibility, and ultimately raising enterprise value. Each episode distills proven strategic thinking from the Bluetex perspective into focused, practical insight, designed to be consumed, not pitched. Strong brands create advantage long before the deal. Now let's jump into another episode of The Brand Advantage.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we are going to ruin your day.
Oh, that's a bold promise.
Well, maybe not ruin it, but we are definitely going to break the way you look at the world, specifically the visual world that is, you know, staring you in the face about 100 times a day.
It's one of those red car effects, isn't it? You know, you buy a red car and suddenly you see red cars everywhere.
Exactly.
Once we talk about this, you're going to see it on every app, every billboard, every single grocery shelf.
We are talking about the great simplification. You have seen it. You've got giants like Uber, Yahoo, MailChimp, even like luxury fashion houses like Burberry. They have taken these unique, quirky, historic, complex logos and just put them through a blender. And what comes out?
A sans serif, clean, rounded, tidy little word mark.
Exactly. It's a very specific aesthetic. And honestly, my first reaction, and I think the reaction of a lot of people on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it, is that it feels boring.
Blanding. That is the term the critics use.
Right. It feels like the death of creativity. It feels like these companies paid a design agency millions of dollars to just, you know, open Microsoft Word, type the company name in Helvetica, and call it a day.
It looks lazy.
It looks so lazy. But we have a stack of research here today, specifically anchored by insights from the design agency Bluetex that suggest we're completely wrong about that.
We are looking at it through the wrong lens. The thesis we are exploring today is that this isn't about aesthetics at all. It is not a fashion trend like, you know, bell bottoms coming back in style. This is a survival mechanism.
Survival. That feels incredibly dramatic for a conversation about fonts and icons.
It sounds dramatic, but when you dig into the engineering, and it really is engineering behind these decisions, you realize it is a calculated move to adapt to a digital ecosystem that is frankly hostile to complexity. We are going to walk through six functional pillars that explain why boring is actually just highly evolved.
Okay, I'm ready to be convinced. We're talking about everything from how our brains filter spam to the actual physical battery life of our smartphones.
Which is my favorite part of the research.
We will get there. But let's start with the battlefield. The environment these logos have to survive in. The experts call it the complex and cluttered digital environment.
Which is a very polite academic way of saying the internet is a screaming nightmare of information.
It really is. I mean, think about the average morning. You wake up, you grab your phone. Before you have even had coffee, what has happened?
You've been hit with notifications, three news headlines, a banner ad on the weather app, an email subject line, and a red dot on Instagram.
It's an assault.
It is. And the source argues that because of this constant bombardment, our brains have evolved, or maybe adapted is a better word, a very specific coping mechanism.
Which is?
It's a loop, scan, filter, repeat.
Scan, filter, repeat, like a bouncer at a club.
It's exactly like a bouncer. Your brain is standing at the door of your attention span, which is a very exclusive club with limited capacity.
Right.
It scans the incoming visual data.
Right.
If something is too complex, too noisy, or requires too much work to figure out, the bouncer says, nope, not tonight, and filters it out.
So in the old days, let's say the 1950s or even the 90s, a logo could be this intricate, embellished crest. Think of those old university seals with the Latin text and the shield and the lion.
Sure, that works if you are staring at a piece of heavy stationery paper and you have 10 minutes to wait for a meeting.
Yeah.
You can admire the cross-hatching.
But not on a phone screen.
But in the digital attention economy, that complexity is a tax.
A tax on attention.
It requires decoding.
Yeah.
Your eye has to stop, trace the lines, and figure out what the image is. The research suggests that in this scan, filter, repeat loop, anything that requires decoding gets filtered out. We have zero bandwidth left for appreciation.
So minimalism isn't a style choice here. It's a hack.
It's a way to bypass the bouncer. A simple geometric shape or a clean word mark gets processed instantly. It enters your brain without you having to consciously read it.
That is a key distinction. It's shifting the goal from, look at how beautiful this art is, to register this brand in 0.01 seconds.
Efficiency is the new artistry. If I have to squint to figure out what your logo is, you have already lost me.
I've scrolled past.
You've scrolled past, exactly.
So that's the biological constraint. The brain is tired. But the research points out that the hardware is also squeezing these designs. This is the shrinking screen pillar.
Right. And Apple is really the bellwether here.
We aren't just looking at desktops anymore.
No, not at all. The ecosystem has fragmented. You have 27-inch 5K monitors, sure. Mm-hmm. But you also have laptops, tablets, phones, and now, significantly, smartwatches.
I didn't even think about the watch. The app icon on an Apple Watch is, what, a few millimeters across? It's tiny. And this is where physics takes over. If you have a logo that relies on intricate details, let's say a tree with individual leaves drawn on it, or a gradient that fades from sunset orange to deep purple, what happens when you shrink that down to 40 pixels?
It turns into a smudge.
Designers call it a muddy blur. The source puts it quite clearly. If a design is riddled with lines and textures, it compromises readability. It literally breaks down.
This reminds me of the early mobile web. Remember when you'd try to open a desktop website on a BlackBerry?
Oh, yeah.
You'd see this massive logo taking up the whole screen, or it would just be a broken image link.
That's the reverse engineering problem. For decades, companies designed the big, beautiful logo first for the billboard or the storefront, and then tried to cram it down onto a business card. The experts at Bluetext are saying that mindset is dead.
You don't shrink the billboard. You start with the favicon, digitally conscious design. You start with the smallest, most hostile environment, the watch face or the browser tab. Mm. If it works there, if it is legible and distinct at 16 by 16 pixels, then it will look fantastic on a billboard.
So we have the brain refusing to process detail, and we have the screen physically unable to display it. But there was a third factor in the research that I honestly thought was a stretch until I read the explanation.
Empathy.
User consideration. I am very skeptical that a massive tech corporation simplifies its logo because it wants to give me a hug.
It's not emotional coddling. It's physiological comfort.
Okay, sell me on this. How does a logo show empathy?
Think about the environment we have been living in, particularly since 2020. The pandemic shifted everything. Screen time didn't just go up. It became our entire existence.
Ugh.
Zoom calls, Slack, Netflix, doom scrolling.
My eyes hurt just remembering those first few months.
Exactly. Our eyes are fatigued. And what was the massive UI trend that exploded alongside this?
Dark mode. I have everything set to dark mode. My phone, my email, my code editor. If an app opens in bright white mode, I physically wince.
Most power users do.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine a complex textured logo with heavy shadows or thin, spindly black lines. How does that look against a black background?
Usually terrible. You get weird halo effects, or the contrast is off and it disappears.
Or it vibrates visually. It's hard to look at. Flat, simplified, clean designs work significantly better in dark mode. They reduce eye strain.
Right.
So when a brand simplifies, they are signaling, we fit into your digital environment comfortably. We aren't going to hurt your eyes.
It's ergonomic design for the eyeballs.
Essentially. But here's the nugget that I think is the most deep dive worthy point of the episode. This user consideration extends to the device itself.
The battery life argument. This is the one where I had to put the paper down and stare at the wall for a second.
It sounds like science fiction, doesn't it?
Okay.
Change your logo, save the planet.
Or at least save my charge. Break it down. How does a JPEG drain my battery?
It comes down to how images are rendered by your phone's processor. A complex image, like a photograph or a detailed logo with shading, is typically a raster image. It is a grid of thousands, maybe millions of colored pixels.
Like a mosaic.
Yes. And every time that logo loads, the processor has to tell every single pixel what color to be. Pixel one is dark blue, pixel two is slightly lighter blue, and so on.
Okay.
That takes computing power.
Which draws current from the battery.
Correct. Especially if that logo is animated or loading dynamically on a web page. Now, compare that to a simplified logo, a vector graphic.
Which is just math, right?
It's just geometry. The code just says, draw a red circle here, radius 10. It is infinitely scalable, and the file size is tiny. It loads faster. It requires less GPU power to render.
So by ditching the intricate oil painting logo and moving to a flat vector icon, apps are technically saving me a fraction of a percent of battery life?
A tiny fraction. But multiply that by the billions of times that logo is loaded across the global network every day. The energy savings and bandwidth savings are massive.
It's functional engineering masquerading as graphic design. It's eco-friendly code.
It signals that the brand respects your device's resources. It's not bloated. It's lean.
That is wild. It makes you look at those boring, flat icons differently. They're aerodynamic.
Aerodynamic is the perfect word for it. They are built for speed and low drag.
Okay, so that covers the mechanics, the brain, the screen, the battery. But companies are not just machines, they are brands. They have personalities. And this is where the Botox analogy came in from the Blue Text report.
Botox for B2B. I laughed when I read that.
It's a vivid image. But let's play devil's advocate here. Botox can go wrong. You can end up looking frozen and weird. Why is this a good strategy for a business?
Think about the alternative. Let's say you are a 50-year-old insurance company or a legacy tech firm. You have heritage, you have trust, people know your name.
We also have age lines.
You do. Your logo uses a font that screams 1995. Mm-hmm. It has drop shadows that look like Windows 98. It has a bevel effect.
So you look dusty. You look like a dad brand.
And in the tech world, dusty means obsolete. But you can't just change your name. You have too much equity in it. You can't just burn it down and start over. So you get a facelift.
Right.
You smooth out the wrinkles.
You keep the bone structure, the core shape, or the color, but you tighten everything up.
Precisely. You remove the bubbles, you flatten the colors, you modernize the font. It allows a legacy company to compete with a startup and look just as current. It's a way of saying, we have the experience of the old guard, but the agility of the new guard.
There was a psychological point here, too, about confidence. The source mentioned that less is more is actually a power move.
Oh, absolutely. It is a status signal.
How so?
Imagine a party. There's a guy in the corner shouting about his resume, listing all his achievements, trying to hand out business cards to everyone.
He seems insecure. He's trying too hard to prove he belongs in the room.
Right. Now imagine the person who walks in, stands quietly, maybe just nods. They don't need to introduce themselves because they know you know who they are.
That's the quiet luxury concept.
Exactly. A complex logo that tries to tell you the entire history of the company.
Yeah.
Look, we were established in 1902, and we do shipping. And here is a picture of a boat that feels insecure.
Right.
A minimal logo says, we know who we are. We know you know who we are. We don't need to shout.
That's a great way to put it. The Nike swoosh doesn't need to say, we sell shoes.
It doesn't even need the word Nike anymore. That is the ultimate level of confidence.
And that leads us to the most critical strategic shift the source identified. The definition of what a logo is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Text argues that a brand should consider a logo as a signature rather than the story.
A signature rather than the story. This is the hardest thing for business owners to grasp.
Let's unpack it. Because yeah. I think a lot of small business owners or people starting out do the exact opposite.
They do. The instinct is to illustrate. I am a plumber. So my logo needs a wrench and a pipe and maybe a water droplet so people know I fix leaks.
You're treating the logo as an explanatory diagram. You're terrified someone will see the logo and not know what you sell.
Right. You're telling the story of the service within the graphic. But the new logic is that in a digital world, where do people see your logo?
Usually on the website or the app or a social media profile.
Exactly. And if I am on your plumbing website or I've downloaded your plumbing app.
The context is already established. I know you're a plumber.
You don't need the wrench icon to explain it to you again. The logo doesn't need to educate. It just needs to identify. It's a trigger, a memory hook.
This explains why so many brands are moving to word marks. Just the name, plain and simple.
It creates a distinctive presence without the visual clutter. It becomes a stamp of quality. Think about high-end fashion. Gucci, Prada, Saint Laurent. It's usually just the name. The name is the value.
It puts a lot of pressure on the name, though, doesn't it? If you take away the picture, the word has to do the heavy lifting.
It does, but it also clarifies the brand. There's no place to hide behind a cool drawing.
Now, we have one last pillar to discuss. And honestly, this one feels the most mundane, but anyone who has ever worked in marketing knows it is usually the biggest headache of all.
The logistics. The mixed medium world.
We talked about screens, but marketing isn't just digital, it's physical.
It is trade show banners, coffee mugs, canvas totes, embroidered polo shirts, cheap ballpoint pens.
I have lived this nightmare. You design a beautiful logo with a subtle fade from blue to green. It looks amazing on the MacBook Pro. Then you send it to the printer to put on a t-shirt.
And the printer calls you and says, we can't print gradients. It's going to look like stripes.
Yes.
Or you try to embroider it on a company fleece, and the lines are so thin, the needle just makes a knot.
And suddenly your premium brand looks like a mistake.
Resource management is a huge part of the simplification trend. If you have a complex logo, you need a brand guidebook the size of a phone book. Use this version for print, this version for screen, this version for black and white, this version for embroidery.
It's a drain on time and money. You're constantly fighting your own design assets.
A clean and crisp, logo simple lines, solid colors is adaptable. You design it once, You know it will look sharp on a massive billboard in Times Square, and you know it will look sharp printed on the side of a cheap plastic pen at a conference.
It ensures consistency, and consistency builds trust.
It does. There is a psychological link there. If your logo looks broken or blurry on a tote bag, the customer subconsciously thinks maybe their product is a bit broken too.
It's harsh but true. We judge books by their covers constantly.
We do. So simplification is basically doing a favor for your future marketing team. It's future-proofing the logistics.
So let's recap this journey. Because we started this conversation, and I think a lot of listeners probably started the day thinking, man, design is getting boring. Everyone is just copying each other.
And we've realized that is a total misconception.
We went from thinking it was lazy minimalism to realizing it's actually a high-performance solution.
Yeah.
It solves for the brain's filter mechanism. It solves for shrinking pixels on smartwatches.
Right.
It solves for eye strain and battery life.
And it solves for the nightmare of putting your logo on 1,000 different physical objects without it looking cheap.
The verdict from the source seems pretty definitive then.
It is. Bluetext argues that cleaning up design offers immense brand value. This isn't a trend that's going to blow over next year. As long as our lives are digital, as long as we carry screens in our pockets, the simple logo is a timeless investment.
It really changes how I'm going to look at my home screen today. I'm not looking at art. I'm looking at little engines of efficiency.
But.
Oh, I hear a but coming. You have that tone in your voice.
I want to leave you with a bit of a provocation. One that the source hints at, but I think we should really dwell on.
Think for it.
We've established the logic is sound. It makes perfect sense. Every argument we just made is rational. But if the goal is to be a signature and not a story, and everyone adopts the exact same logic, the same sans serif fonts, the same flat colors, the same rounded corners.
We end up in a sea of sameness, the blanding of the corporate world.
Exactly. If efficiency is the only metric, do we lose the soul? Do we lose the weirdness that makes things interesting?
That is the risk. You become perfectly efficient and perfectly forgettable. You might be easy to process, but are you easy to love?
That is the question. Or, and this is the flip side, does this extreme simplicity actually raise the stakes for the brand itself?
What do you mean?
Well, if you can't hide behind a cool drawing or a flashy gradient, all you have left is your name and your reputation. The visual is quiet, so the product has to speak louder.
That is a fascinating thought. Simplicity strips away the noise, so the signal, the actual value you provide, has to be stronger.
That's the hope, anyway.
Well, listener, next time you unlock your phone, take a second. Don't just tap the app you need. Look at the design. See if you can spot the empathy, the engineering, and the Botox at work. It's not just a logo. It's a tiny machine built for your attention. Thanks for diving in with us.
See you next time.